first a look at today's State of the Tribes address delivered earlier this afternoon. The address is a way for tribes from around the state to come together, celebrate progress they've made in the past year, and highlight challenges ahead.
Brandon Tomes is here. He's the public relations coordinator for the Chippewa Federation. Brandon, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Veronica.
Well, this year, the State of the Tribes address was delivered by Chris McGeejik, chairman of the Sakagan Chippewa community. How was he chosen?
Well, generally speaking, it's on a rotating basis. So each year, each tribe will have the opportunity to host and actually have their chairperson or their designee deliver that speech. So his name was up. Molek was on deck, and he did it.
Now, there was a lot going on at the Capitol today besides
yes.
State of the Tribes. Right to work legislation being debated in the assembly. Did you feel that the address that was given got the attention that it was looking for?
Absolutely. And I actually think that, you know, there was a great deal of respect that was paid to the Indians and the tribal people that showed up because of the organizations that were already there. When we got there, they actually were very respectful and actually saluted the tribes and cheered for them. So I thought that was really great.
Now, in his speech, Chairman McGeejik laid out some key areas where he sees improvement needed for higher quality of life for Native Americans in Wisconsin. Is there a consensus among Wisconsin tribes about the challenges ahead?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are so many, shared instances of needs on each reservation that's what draws us as Indian people close together, because we all share in those, you know, those needs and the things that we want for our children. They're no different than the people of Wisconsin, and we are those people. So it's a general consensus among the tribes that, you know, the speech is delivered in a way that it's given by basically all the tribes. All the tribes have input. We just have Chairman McGeejik this year delivering it.
And one of the issues that came up was unregulated gaming. Now, first off, can you explain what that is?
Well, as you may or may not know, tribes, in order to have a casino or a gaming operation, they sign a compact with the state. So in that compact, there are rules that the tribes have to abide by, and likewise, the state abides by certain conditions of those compacts. So in those compacts, each tribe is guaranteed the right and the privilege to have the gaming operations where they are located. Also in there is the fact that there's no mention of unregulated gaming in those compacts. However, if you look outside of the reservations, there are numerous instances of a violating of those compacts when you have taverns that have gaming machines in them. And it's even expanded beyond the taverns to gas stations, laundromats. And we feel that those machines are unregulated, and they are diminishing the level of business that the tribes could be seeing right now. As you know, gaming is a highly regulated industry, and the tribes, you know, are put through a rigorous process to make sure that those protocols are met to ensure that the players are receiving a fair shake in the game, that the people delivering the games are, you know, on the up and up. So, it was mentioned, and I think that there needs to be a larger discussion on that topic.
Now, people who might be opposed to regulating those particular machines, the ones in taverns, might say, oh, there's just a few of those, maybe per area, per tavern, maybe one in a laundromat. How does such a small thing affect the tribes? Is it sort of
well,
a cumulative effect?
Yes, if we're talking about 25 to 30,000 of those machines, it's no longer a small thing. And, you know, estimates are about that. And, you know, again, I can't stress enough that, you know, the tribes, when they do anything, whether it's with the natural resources, gaming, business, what have you, when the tribes are endeavor to do things, they're put through a rigorous process, and our counterparts, our neighbors, aren't being held to that same standard. And I think that there needs, again, to be a larger conversation and really look at the taxation of those machines, the regulation. You know, one of our tribal council members in Lac des Flambeaux actually likes to share a story that his daughter, who was 10 years old, was able to play on one of those machines and win money. So That's a very good example of the unregulated nature of those machines and taverns and laundromats and all the other places we find them.
Well, and speaking of gaming, one controversial topic from this past year was the proposed Menominee Casino in Kenosha. Can you talk about how the fallout from that proposed casino may have affected the Native American population in Wisconsin?
Well, I think, at least from the Chippewa standpoint, is that, you know, they were very much behind the Menominee's effort to build that casino. You know, the Menominee are our relatives. They're brothers and sisters to us. And the issue with that is that, you know, Wisconsin is in such need of economic development and stimulated job growth that would have really brought a large industry to a downtrodden area of Kenosha. And we really feel that opportunity was lost, not only for the tribes, but for the entire portion of southern Wisconsin that, you know, would have benefited by having that establishment.
Has that caused any kind of schisms within the various tribes, or is it something that is being worked through and they're still...
I think the tribes are going through the process of communicating their frustration, and I think it's important that it's noted that they are communicating about it. There are discussions happening. The tribes know each other's position on issues such as that particular gaming establishment or proposed gaming establishment, and as long as they keep those lines of communication open, I think that it's not causing major rifts right now. But, you know, I think it kind of speaks to the old adage of divide and conquer. And I think that a little bit of that was in play here.
Now, one of the topics mentioned in that address today was the protection of tribal lands, specifically related to proposed mines in Wisconsin. And last week, news broke about Göbek Taconite closing its offices in Hurley. What have you heard in response to that news?
Well, what we've heard is that it's guarded optimism, and I've heard the word cautious optimism, guarded optimism, but the fact remains that as long as there are metals and materials in the earth that man wants and needs, the environment will always be at risk of harm to extract those elements. So there's just a guarded optimism that maybe this is going to quiet down for a little while, but by no means do the tribes believe that the threat of mining is over.
And what role do you think Native American tribes in Wisconsin should play in the decision about mines and other debates as they arise?
Well, that's a very easy one. They should be a central player in that decision process because of the fact that the northern two-thirds of the state are pretty much, you know, owned by the Chippewa Indians. And it's really sad when, you know, you have these agencies making these determinations without consulting with the tribes. I read somewhere last week that Governor Walker claimed to have over 1,000 meetings with the various tribes during his tenure as governor, and you know, I don't know if a meeting is a phone call or if it's an email, but I can't see the 1,000 meetings where that number came from. So I really feel it's important that the tribes play a central role in those processes.
Now, education is an ongoing concern in Wisconsin. How are Native Americans in the state faring with the current education system, and what particular issues are you thinking about?
Well, when we're talking about education, we're talking about, first off, access to quality education, but more importantly, talking about having the culture and language reflected in tribal areas and across the state. And so, you know, our languages are dying. You know, there are fluent speakers of each of our languages in the state. However, we need to instill that in our children to make sure that our families are well grounded in who we are, in our culture. And I really think that the mascot issue, it was brought up, Chairman Mgijik brought that up, is something that really needs to be looked at further because, you know, studies have proven that exposure to these negative, harmful images is you know, it really challenges our tribal children's ability to obtain a quality education.
And we're just about out of time, but real quickly, when you say looked at further, what would you like to see happen?
Well, personally, I'd like to see the end of native mascots or racially based mascots, but you know, there really needs to be some sort of retake on that whole legislation because, again, it's proven fact that these images are harmful to our children.
Brandon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Brandon Tomes, Public Relations Coordinator for the Chippewa Federation.
You can watch the State of the Tribes address that happened earlier today. Wisconsin Public Television will broadcast that tonight at 7 o'clock.